Would you now turn to the portion of the Word that we read together, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we read there at verse 6, "Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The teaching of adoption. There's a story told of a missionary many years ago, and who was teaching the native people in Africa, and some of them are the more learned ones. He was writing a catechism with them in their own language, and when he came to teach them, and he wanted to put into their language about adoption and God adopting His people, the man, it seems, who was writing this was absolutely overcome and amazed that such a thing could happen. And he was said to the missionary, "There must be some mistake in this. God making me His child." And he found it difficult to write down that God would do this, and in this catechism, to write down that he was no more a servant, but a son. And he said, "Can we not just write like something like we're allowed now to kiss his feet?" And there was that sense of awe and amazement that maybe, friends, that we have lost sight of what it is to be adopted into the family of God. How easy it is for us to take such things for granted. We say it. And yet, do we really today take in what it means to be adopted into the family of God? Adoption, said Robbie Duncan, is bestowed on believers in virtue of union to Christ, and is not the result of their obedience, but the result of His obedience. It is God's work. It is God's work. It is the Lord who makes us His children. It is God who makes us part of His wonderful family. And the Christian, says the Apostle Paul, is a child, a son of God, as we have it in the previous chapter in verse 26, "Ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And the rights and the privileges are yours when you exercise faith in Christ Jesus. Not that faith itself makes any of us sons. It is not faith that does this for us any more than we can say, strictly speaking, faith itself doesn't save us. Christ saves us. And so faith itself does not make us sons of God. And yet we have to say, and Scripture teaches, that without faith in the Son of God, we could not be His children. The relationship into which we enter when we believe, though not necessarily aware of it at our new birth, is an amazing, incredible relationship, isn't it? When you think about it. When you think that you who were so far off, you who were an enemy of God, it wasn't and it cannot be that you have earned your way into God's favor. But it is His declaration. It is His doing. It is an amazing, incredible thing that this could be said of you here this morning, that you are a son, an heir of God through Christ. And amazing, more amazing still even, that God would say, I will be a father unto you. What a relationship. What an amazing transformation comes into the experience of the person who was brought from darkness to light. That God is our Father. Now, is it not true that far too often that we lose blessings because we do not appreciate that relationship in the way that we should? Is it not true that we continue to think of ourselves as, if you like, one of many saved sinners, those who are just saved by the skin of their teeth? And that might be true. But then, friends, if we do not appreciate, as we ought to, the blessings that will be ours that come from having an awareness of this, not only are we saved, are we justified, but we're also adopted into the family of God. And God is our Heavenly Father. Christian, here this day, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a servant. Verse 7, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And he says, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An amazing relationship indeed that comes about. And friends, I believe that all of us need to appreciate this more. What it is to be a son of God. What it is to be adopted into the family of God. What it is to say that God is my Father in heaven. And if I do not appreciate that, I believe that we will be making despite and doing despite to the Spirit of grace when we do not acknowledge in the way that we should the glorious relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious relationship to Christ as our elder brother, and therefore to God as our Heavenly Father. You see, we may say that we believe all these things, and I'm sure that every Christian here today would say that they believe all these things for themselves. That this is our relationship. I believe that I am a child of God. I believe that God is my Father in heaven. We may say that. But do we live it out in our lives? Do we show in the way that we live? Do we show in the way that we go about our daily walk that we are indeed the children of God? That God is our Father? And do we live in that close relationship that any true son will have with our Father? Well, let us then consider something this morning as God enables us to look at this and to consider under four headings. First of all, a word just on these things we can only touch on, and as you well know yourselves, are a huge subject here of the sonship and adoption. But the process, first of all, of coming into this relationship, into sonship. And then the privileges that are attached to it, at least some privileges. And then some particular differences in sonship. And finally, the future prospect of sonship. So first of all then, the process of coming into sonship. Now, in the logical, strictly theological order, as you well know, justification comes first. And adoption follows in the strictly theological order. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge and say that in Christian experience, they happen together. It is impossible for us in our sense of coming into this new relationship, if we have any sense of it at all, it is impossible for us to separate these things. They go together. Justification comes first, but yet adoption is there, clinging on to it, as it were. If I can use an illustration, it's when you come into maybe this room and you put on the light. No, that is something that has to happen. To put on the light, you have to touch a light switch to put it on. And in doing so, the light comes on. There is a connection between them. And one is united to, well, yes, there is something that must happen first. But immediately that happens, as it were, that the second follows. You touch the light switch, the light comes on. There is, in a sense, there is no divide or division between them, although one comes, and we must always remember that, one comes before the other. Here it's an instantaneous act of God, and an instantaneous act of God's free grace. It is like justification is something that comes and happens. It's an act. And so it is with our adoption, our sonship. What manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God, we are told elsewhere, that he predestines us into his own adoption by Jesus Christ. This is what happened, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, verse 5, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might receive it. We are brought from being children of wrath to being children of light. And it is God who does this. It is God himself who makes us his children. It is not something we can do for ourselves, that as it cannot be in the normal birth of a child. It is not the child himself who makes himself. That is not in his power. And it's not in our power to make ourselves children of God in that sense. We don't make ourselves in any way this. We don't even make ourselves his children by believing. Although the two are again closely linked, but believing, once we believe we are his children, that is how we can know as well. And none of us here today, and you here today without Christ, you cannot claim to be a child of God without faith in Christ. But it is God himself who is doing this. This is an act of God by which he receives hell deservers, by which he receives sinners into his holy family. And it is not that God either saw, as some would claim, that God saw, as it were, down through the ages that you would believe, and therefore that he said, well, I'll make him my child. It is God himself who begins the process. It is God himself who sets his love upon you. He does this sovereignly. And in doing so, he confers upon you the rights and privileges of his children. And there is then this difference. There is this process of coming into sonship, but there is a difference. It begins, in one sense, we have to say, with justification. And there is the great difference there. Justification is, as you know, it's an act of God as judge. Adoption is an act of God as a father. By justification, we are freed from condemnation, and we are accepted as righteous in his sight. By adoption, we are made the children of God and joined heirs with Christ. By justification, we are taken into God's favor. By adoption, we are taken into God's family. So then, friends, as his adopted children, this process going on, and he gives us a new nature, and he gives us a new name, and he gives us a new inheritance. In this process of coming into sonship and coming into sonship, all this is then true for us. Justification changes our legal status before God. Adoption changes our personal standing before him. As I said, justification, God as judge, in adoption as Father. And here, Christian here today, having been justified firstly, you now by adoption have the name of Son. You have the name of a child of God. And so you who are the believers here today, you have that spirit of adoption. For we have it here in Romans 8 where we cry, Abba, Father. But maybe you're here now this morning and you're saying, well, that's fine. I hear what you say. I hear what the Bible, I know what the Bible teaches. But I don't always feel like a child of God. I don't always feel that way at all. Does that mean that I'm not a child of God? Well, you have to go back to the beginning. It's not about what you feel today. It's about, has God changed you? Has God saved you? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what you've got to look at. Not what do I feel? Do I feel as a child today? Go back to the beginning. Do you feel, do you know, do you believe in Him as your Savior? Well, you say yes. Well, friend, whether you feel then, if you truly believe that, whatever you feel, it doesn't change your status. It doesn't change your status. Newborn child, for example. He has a father and a mother. He might not and will not be able to know that initially. But it doesn't change what he is. Very often, it can be the case for somebody, maybe you're here today and you've been converted recently. And you're saying, I'm finding it difficult to know this teaching and to understand it. And it may well be true. I think that most people here would acknowledge when you have been transformed by the grace of God, when you've been converted, when you've been saved, when you've been born again. These things don't necessarily all fit into a straight pattern for you. Through time you begin to realize, as a new child will begin to realize, who their parents are, as they know the love and as they see how they are cared for. And so there is that revelation, if you like, that comes through time and time. It's not necessarily going to be the situation. And also, that it may be for even those who are converted some years. It may well be that you may not feel in some ways like our times. You know, even in our ordinary family relationships, you know how it can be at times with ourselves. Some days you may feel, for many reasons, not as close to loved ones as other days. I suppose most of us as children, how some days when our parents dealt with us and we felt that they didn't love us because of the way they dealt with us. But it wasn't that at all. It doesn't matter how we felt about it when they chastised us. It didn't change the relationship. And so it is with ourselves. We are still part, if we believe, we are part of the family of God. Something else, friends, about the process as well. Sonship begins here in this world and not in the heaven to come. It is today we are to be sons and children of God. It is today, not in the future. This is where it begins. And so also for any here today, still without Christ, friend, this is the day that you have to make your calling and election sure, in the sense of coming to faith and putting your trust in the Lord. It's not to wait and hope that the end of the day it will work out. We are today believing, and as believers, we're in this relationship. Whatever we may feel, and isn't it true, friends, at times? Oh, some days when we see the corruption of our own hearts, we wonder, how can I be a child of God? You know what that is like? I'm sure you do. But blessed be his name, that once he sets his love upon us, it does not change. So there's a process then of coming into this sonship. And then secondly, there are many privileges, and there are many, many privileges. We'll touch on some of them. First of all, may I say this, we are not all God's children. He is not the father of every single person in the world. There is a false teaching of the universal fatherhood of God, and that's what it is, friends. False teaching. And if you are here today, and maybe you do not profess faith in Christ, but maybe you have this vague thinking and hope in your mind, while God is the Father of us all, then you are deluding yourself. It is not so at all. He is the Creator of us all. He is the Father of his own adopted children, and only of his own adopted children. And one of the great privileges of being then a child of God is this, is that as a son, that we can come as a son, as a daughter, as a child of God, we can come and we can say by faith, crying in our hearts, Abba, Father. That's a close relationship. And who would dare say that? Except someone who has come to know Christ as his elder brother, as his Savior, knowing that he's in the family of God. Oh, you might be saying, oh, that's presumptuous. I would never say that. I'm happy just to keep this distance between myself and God. Dear friend, do you think that's biblical? But that's presumptuous, you say. Using that kind of language. No, it's not presumptuous. It's biblical language. Abba, Father. And there can be a reluctance with us to use it. And it may well be rising simply out of false humility. I am not saying that we should use it loosely and without thought. But we cannot say, friends, that it's unbiblical or presumptuous to use these terms. You see, it's about a holy familiarity. A holy familiarity with God as our Father. And surely if he is our Father, one of the great privileges we have as a child of God, we can approach him with boldness. How can we do so? Because we know that as a Father, that he will accept us. And he will not cast us away. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence. Oh yes, with reverence. Let's not forget the reverence. Let's not, as it were, think that it is something that it doesn't matter how we approach him. Always with reverence, friends. But here is a wonderful privilege that the apostle sets before us. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. And it's through having the Spirit of his Son that we can say, Abba, Father. That's a privilege. And what a wonderful privilege. But there's another privilege also that we have as being sons of God. And it's this, the privilege of chastisement. The privilege of chastisement. Oh, you see, how can chastisement be a privilege? When I am so pained at times, when I feel God's hand so heavy on me, how can that be a privilege? Friend, why does he chastise you? Well, you know the answer, what Scripture itself says. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Nowhere will you read of that kind of chastening of those who are not the children of God. It's because he loves you. And dear friends, what is it then but a wonderful and a glorious privilege that God would bother, as it were, with such as you are, such a vile, frail, pathetic creature. And yet, here is your Father in heaven, who is willing and able and desires to chastise you. Why? Because of his love for you and to bring you to himself. Friends, chastisement is a privilege that only belongs to the family of God. We are under his fatherly care in that way. We read in Matthew 6, your heavenly Father knows what you need. We sang there in Psalm 103, such pity as a father has unto his children. Like pity shows the Lord to such, too, to those who worship him in fear, those who are his children. He cares, he protects, we read in Proverbs. His children shall have a place of refuge. So there are many privileges, the privilege of chastisement, the privilege of fatherly care, the great privilege of being able to approach him as our Father and to say, Abba, Father. And it's also a wonderful privilege, friends, that being a child of God, you will never be otherwise. Isn't that amazing? We cannot anymore lose our status of adoption and we can of justification. It is not about being a son today and tomorrow God is going to cast me off. Oh yes, we can lose our enjoyment of it and our sense of it. We certainly can at times lose that. But that is more often than not, is it not? Because of our own sin. Through our sin, grieving the Spirit. And so we don't have that sense and that communion and fellowship and sense of his wonderful love and mercy that we maybe have at other times. Without question, friends, when we lose that sense of God as our Father, as one song put, one who has moved, it certainly isn't God. It is ourselves who have, by our sin, put our distance between us, a barrier between us and the Lord. And when we do this, we do it, and by our disobedience we can do this. And we lose the sense of his presence, but we are still, even then, oh praise God, we are still his sons, his children. By our sin, we dishonor God. Remember in Malachi's day, we read there about those who were dishonoring God by the way that they lived. And God says there through the prophet, a son honoreth his father. If I be your father, where is mine honor? The life that you're living, you are saying that I'm your father. But their lives showed that they weren't his children and he wasn't their father. And again, may I say to some of you here today, who are still strangers to the grace of God, don't make the mistake even of those like those of Malachi's day. Say, oh yes, God is our Father. God is my Father. Well, friend, if I be your Father, says God to you today, where is mine honor? How are you going to honor God? By believing in Christ. By following the Lord. That's where you honor him. That's what his people seek to do. So friends, we have privileges and we need to be aware of the privileges and be aware also of not appreciating the privileges and making full use of them. And then thirdly, there are differences, the particular differences in sonship. And that is between, what I mean by that is between ourselves and our standing with God and Christ's standing. There is a difference in sonship. Our sonship is by adoption. Christ's by eternal generation of the Father. And that is all the difference in the world. Yes, when we are adopted, we are brought to be joint heirs with Christ. Wonderful as it is. But strictly, theologically speaking, we have to note the difference. You see, our sonship comes about by a change of status. But he was ever the son. He was always the son. He has always been of one substance with the Father. You see, he didn't become a son when he was born into this world. He was always the son, the second person. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that is one of the great difference. And the Lord Jesus Christ, although he is not God's only son, he is the only one not adopted. And that is something that is important for us. And there's a great difference there. He is the begotten, not the adopted. Some of the modern versions of Scripture, and I don't want at all to decry some of the, just because it's a modern version that is wrong in and of itself. But I think that some of them that they use the language of, for example, John 3:16, his one and only son, rather than begotten. Now, strictly speaking, he is not the one and only son. It's important to make the distinction between what the saved sinner is. The saved sinner is a son. He is an adopted son. But Christ is the only begotten eternal son. Our sonship has a beginning, friends. His does not. To us, God says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. To Christ, he says, thou art the language of eternity. Thou art mine only son. He's already, he is always, always has been begotten. Yes, the beloved son. There is a difference there that we have to remember. And so while we may have the privilege of being sons and daughters of God, even joint heirs with Christ, let us remember that and never forget that we are that by his grace and not by merit, not by any worthiness in ourselves, and not by eternal generation. That's the privilege that is the Savior's, the Son of God, the only begotten Son. So there is that difference that we have to remember. That while we have, and what a glorious privilege it is to be a joint heir with Christ, friends, let us not forget who Christ is. Brother, elder brother, yes, but also God, the second person. And then fourthly and finally, there is a future prospect that comes with sonship. What a wonderful thought. Ah, the future. Beyond this world, we shall see him face to face. Imagine that. That such a poor sinner as you are here today, the privilege of seeing him face to face. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about the first moment that you actually see him with your eyes? Oh, by faith, praise God, we lay hold on him today, and we walk by faith and not by sight here. But the day is coming when we will see him. And that's a privilege that belongs to the child of God. Oh yes, you say, every eye shall see him. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every eye shall see him. Those who will die without Christ, they will see him. They will see him as the great judge of all the earth. But his people, his beloved, will see him. Oh, there you will see him. Truly as your God and your Lord, your Savior, your Father in heaven. This iniquitous world with all its troubles will be gone forever. We just cannot truly grasp this, can we? No more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more falling out, no more disputing. Ultimately, the great hope of God's children is it not? This is what consumes us and keeps us going. One day, I will be with him where he is. Do you have that hope this morning? Does that stir your heart? Does your heart burn within you at the thought of this prospect that comes with sonship and being a child of God? There are many days and most days that God's family in this world feel that they are strangers and pilgrims. And so you should, friend. We read in verse 29, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. See, even so it is now. And even so it is in 2008. It is still so and will ever be in this world. But friend, think of what awaits. You may feel unwanted in this world. You may feel at a distance at times from God. But let us not be overly concerned and troubled. That can keep us from the blessings of God. To think of the future with his people and with himself. Think of what awaits. The child of God, you see, this son, this daughter, they cannot be completely content and happy except they are in their Father's presence, in the Father's house, with the Father's family. Just as humanly speaking, a child is most happy, surely, in a loving, caring home. And so it is for the people of God. The thought of it. Here we have a taste of it as we gather from time to time in worship in this manner. Do you have that hope this day? Is that what's awaiting you when you leave this world? Oh, friends, we don't have anything in this world that will satisfy us any longer. You see, as Christ is not of this world, his people are not of this world. But we will see him there face to face. But we are his children already here. We don't become God's children in heaven. We are God's children now. And we have to live as God's children. Not just when we get to glory, which will be true, of course. But dear friend, our responsibility is to live as his children in this world. That is why we are asked to be separate in that sense. Heaven, where the Lord is what awaits each and every one of those who are his family. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, says the apostle elsewhere, we are of all men most miserable. Where is your own hope today? Is it in this life only? Well, if it is, that will tell you that you are not in the family of God. But if your hope is beyond this life and reaching by faith into the world that awaits, what is it that draws you there? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Is that what you look for? Well, friend, if it is, that hope did not rise and arise from a dead heart and dead desires. It is God the Spirit at work in your life. Look today, encourage yourself, Christian, in a day of small things and darkness. But this hasn't changed. God is still your Father in heaven. Look to where Christ is. And also remember that what a wonderful prospect this is. That today, Christian, you can know this and say this. Christ is awaiting my coming. Imagine that. Christ, when I speak with reverence and with care using the word, Christ will not be content until you are in glory with him. Death breaks up families in this world. But for a child of God, death is going home to the prepared place to be with Christ. Are you today one of the family of God? Oh, friend here today, if you are not, don't give up until you press in and seek the Lord. Be numbered here amongst those who love him, oh, not perfectly, but they love him nevertheless. But you see, it's not even about how much they love Christ. It is about already being loved. The perfection is his. And that is what he showed in dying in the Roman's stead. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed Father in heaven, may we approach thee today in the way that we should. Oh, with reverence we pray and with godly fear, but encouraged to think beyond the troubles of this world. We thank thee that thou hast set thy love upon thy children and that thou hast made them thine own. Our prayer is that every soul here today would know what it is to have God as their Father in heaven. And we believe, O Lord, with all our hearts, if they will believe, it will be so. So bless us, keep us from self and sin, and aware of the great privileges that are ours, being united to the Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen.